It began over a chore that Louis's father asked him to do. Louis resisted, a spat ensued, and Louis threw some clothes into a bag and stormed toward the front door. His parents ordered him to stay. Louis was beyond persuasion. As he walked out, his mother rushed to the kitchen and emerged with a sandwich wrapped in wax paper. Louis stuffed it in his bag and left. He was partway down the front walk when he heard his name called. When he turned, there was his father, grim-faced, holding $2 in his outstretched hand. It was a lot of money for a man whose paycheck didn't bridge the week. Louis took it and walked away. He rounded up a friend, and together they hitchhiked to Los Angeles, broke into a car, and slept on the seats. The next day, they jumped a train, climbed onto the roof, and rode north. The trip was a nightmare. The boys got locked in a boxcar so hot that they were soon frantic to escape. Louis found a discarded strip of metal, climbed on his friend's shoulders, pried a vent open, squirmed out, and helped his friend out, badly cutting himself in the process. Then they were discovered by the railroad detective, who forced them to jump from the moving train at gunpoint. After several days of walking, getting chased out of orchards and grocery stores where they tried to steal food, they wound up sitting on the ground in a rail yard, filthy, bruised, sunburned, and wet, sharing a stolen can of beans. A train rattled past. Louis looked up. I saw beautiful white tablecloths and crystal on the tables, and food, people laughing and enjoying themselves and eating, he said later. And I was sitting here, shivering, eating a miserable can of beans. He remembered the money in his father's hand, the fear in his mother's eyes as she offered him a sandwich. He stood up and headed home. When Louis walked into his house, Louise threw her arms around him, inspected him for injuries, led him to the kitchen, and gave him a cookie. Anthony came home, saw Louis, and sank into a chair, his face soft with relief. After dinner, Louis went upstairs, dropped into bed, and whispered his surrender to Pete. In the summer of 1932, Louis did almost nothing but run. On the invitation of a friend, he went to stay at a cabin on the Cahuilla Indian Reservation in Southern California's high desert. Each morning, he rose with the sun, picked up his rifle, and jogged into the sagebrush. He ran up and down hills, over the desert, through gullies. He chased bands of horses, darting into the swirling herds and trying in vain to snatch a fistful of mane and swing aboard. He swam in a sulfur spring, watched over by Cahuilla women scrubbing clothes on the rocks, and stretched out to dry himself in the sun. On his run back to the cabin each afternoon, he shot a rabbit for supper. Each evening, he climbed atop the cabin and lay back, reading Zane Grey novels. When the sun sank and the words faded, he gazed over the landscape, moved by its beauty, watching it slip from gray to purple before darkness blended land and sky. In the morning, he rose to run again. He didn't run from something or to something, not for anyone